This episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for world-class carbon wheels that are UCI approved, come with a lifetime warranty and shipped free worldwide, then check out Wheel Science. Get all the performance at half the price, and when you use the coupon code KONAEDGE at checkout, you'll get an extra 10% discount. To learn more, head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels to find out more, or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels.
This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. It's time to chat some swimming as we head back to Cornwall in the UK to catch up with Neil Eddy. Neil, welcome back onto the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me back.
Neil, every time I speak to somebody who comes from a swimming background, I always say you have a bit of an unfair advantage, but it's not an unfair advantage. It's you put in the hard work, and it's definitely an advantage, but it's a good one.
Absolutely, those 6:30 a.m. swims before school when I was in secondary school is certainly paying off now. Even at a time when I wanted to give that up and try telling my mum that I wasn't going to swim anymore for a while, which only lasted for a few months, but I was fighting a losing battle at the time.
Yeah, aren't you grateful she didn't let you give up?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be in a bad way now if I hadn't done it.
Yeah. Let's talk about the swim. You know, I mean, you can't win an Ironman in a swim, but you can lose it. You've got to do enough. But for you, is it a case of it's strong enough? I'm not going to spend too much time on it. I'm just going to sort of maintain gains, or is it something you're still working on?
I sometimes try and think things, because if you're not working on something, you can kind of sometimes take a step back. But yeah, I certainly don't have to swim as much as I used to, even when I race shorter distance races. You know, probably swam and had a few more key sessions in there. Whereas now I probably swim, you know, three pool sessions a week, you know, in the winter, and in the summer I chuck in a few sea swims. More so we're very lucky where I live that we do a lot of sea swimming, and sometimes we might drop a pool swim and go in the sea, or sometimes we might just add a few extra little dips in there in the summer. But certainly it's more of a maintenance thing now, rather than at my age as well. It's not necessarily that I'm going to improve my swimming times.
Yep, absolutely. Over the years, I mean, can you put it down to one or two things that you think you've done that's really improved your swim performance?
Certainly tough. Obviously, I was a benefit of swimming from a young age, but it definitely got more consistent. So I was never the most talented swimmer at a younger age, and I was very small. And actually, it was my work ethic that managed to kind of improve me as a swimmer. So because I was never developing as fast as my friends, I was always smaller, so I was never as powerful in the water. But because I'd always be the first one in the pool and the last one out, when I slowly started developing when I was 14, 15, 16 and later in life, all of a sudden then, because I had that work ethic, that I started overtaking them in our swimming races and in training as well. So it's definitely just kind of that, like I said, working hard and keep going at it, and those benefits will come. Sometimes it's slow gains in swimming, as we all know, you know, those little increments, but all of a sudden sometimes that stepping stone of bringing things down can really happen quickly all of a sudden.
I was fascinated, you mentioned in our first chat that you played competitive water polo as well. Do you think that's helped you swim, particularly sort of the physical side of it, if somebody's swimming over you? Or I think that's one thing that a lot of people struggle with, is if they miss a stroke and they miss a breath, they start to panic. But you must be pretty, that must be like normal for you.
Yeah. It's not too bad. I don't think I would panic like some other people would, or I'm used to, like you said, swimming in real tough sea conditions. And we have a race in Cornwall that is renowned for big surf swimming and stuff. And if people saw the surf that we go in sometimes, they would think that we were mental. But you kind of get used to it, and if you're prepared in that, you kind of like I say, you wouldn't panic when you kind of miss an arm stroke or you're held under the water a bit longer than you should be. But even for me, like when I first started racing those big sea swims, you know, it could catch you off guard, you know, wouldn't so much nowadays, but back a few years ago, you know, I was a bit intimidated with those big waves swimming and stuff. But the water polo certainly set me up for that, and especially in tough conditions. Even if you're in a lake swim and it's windy conditions, you know, your nice long pull stroke isn't going to get you through the water as fast as a short punchy stroke that you can really adapt. And I think that's what the ability I have is, the ability to adapt your stroke and kind of just get that cadence and get that turnover in those tough conditions and keep swimming strong.
And that comes with experience. So the more open water you can do, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of understanding that. And people, like say, might be intimidated by those, you know, a little bit of chop in the water or think they're not used to it. But actually, that's where you need to build that confidence. You need to, like, even if you go in for a couple hundred meters with someone alongside you who's a stronger swimmer just to keep you company and getting used to those conditions, then come race day, you know, if it is not the best conditions and they might shorten the swim, but you still got to go out and do a 1500 swim in tough conditions, that you're prepared and you're less nervous and you're not using up your energy on your swim and kind of have a good race day.
As someone who's very competent in the water, obviously you are, does it frustrate you that races like Ironman are making the calls to shorten swims? I mean, you understand where they're coming from, but for someone like you, when it's rough like that, that's part of it, almost that's your wheelhouse. You love that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the choppier the water, the better half the time. And my swim times would deviate, you know, 30 seconds or a minute either side of what they normally would, as opposed to some people that might be 5 minutes. So I totally understand that they've got a call on health and safety and getting people in and out of the water and swimming with 3.8K in tough conditions. But I also think that people going into this race, if it's sometimes I think they've shortened some swims and things when necessarily they didn't need to. And actually, if you're of the ability to be on that start line in those conditions, that you should be the ability to get round that course regardless of that. You know, if it's 30 mile an hour winds on the bike and stuff, we don't shorten the bike because some people are a bit nervous on the bike and things. I know it's slightly different and it's a tough call to make, but you know, it's quite often the swim that ends up suffering it in races and due to temperatures or due to swim distances or due to the water quality as well that we see.
Yeah, absolutely. Favorite workout in the water, what do you love doing?
Probably I'd probably say a pyramid set. So starting off with some 50s maybe, working up. I quite like that, the point where you get to halfway and you can really build up. So you can start on, like, you know, 850s, into 4 100s, 2 200s, up to 400, and then come back down the other side. And I think you can really build up that threshold there when you get into these longer distances. Then when you come back down the other side, you can really build that speed element into it, and then finish off on a hard set of 50s at the back end. But I definitely like just varying my swim sessions. Very much don't like doing the same thing session after session, maybe 2 weeks in a row, but that's it. And then kind of just really mixing it up to keep it interesting. Otherwise, following those black lines along the bottom of the pool can get a little bit tedious, especially when you've probably been swimming in a pool for 20 years like I have.
Absolutely. Well, Neil, it's been great catching up once again. I look forward to talking about your bike, but we'll save that for next time out.
Look forward to it.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge, I want to invite you to check out the Coach Parry Training Club. The Coach Parry Training Club is the essential resource for anyone at any stage of their triathlon journey. Whether you're just starting out in the sport and training for your first sprint distance race, or if you've been around the block a few times and are looking to take your Ironman performance to the next level, then the Coach Parry Training Club can help you. Developed by double Olympic and Commonwealth Games triathlon coach Lindsay Parry and myself, the Coach Parry Training Club is the go-to online platform for your training needs. It's like having a coach in your pocket. Get 20% off when you join the Coach Parry Training Club by using the coupon code KONA at checkout. Head over to thekonaedge.com/coach or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/coach.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge. We'll be right back.